Welcome to Vistage Live, the place you can come to for insights, knowledge and perspectives from a range of experts who can help your small and mid-sized business make a great big impact. Today's guest is John Bruins, a globally recognized family business expert and fellow of the Family Firm Institute. With more than 40 years dedicated to helping families in business not only succeed but truly thrive, John has guided leaders across Australia and around the world through the unique opportunities and challenges of family enterprise. As one of the founders of Family Business Association Victoria and an award-winning advisor, John combines deep personal experience with his thriving family business methodology to help families build sustainable success while strengthening relationships. John is also a Vistage Chair in Western Australia and has been supporting CEOs and business leaders to grow, lead with clarity, and make better decisions for over 18 years. And most recently, he has captured his wisdom in his new book, Creating a Thriving Family Business, Progress, Not Perfection. John Bruins, welcome to Vistage Live.
Good to be here.
Welcome back to Vistage Live, actually. We must have spoken, it was long before COVID, maybe 2019. Yeah.
It feels like a long time ago.
It feels like a really long time ago. What's changed in family business over the COVID and post-COVID era?
So many changes, and yet everything stays the same.
Yeah, tell me.
Changes, there's a little bit more research, there's more advisors coming into the it's not an industry and it's not a profession, but there are a lot of people that are coming in to give advice and consult to families and business. So we're seeing more people, and there's different parts of the market now for family business. There's the ultra high net worth family businesses, the high net worth family businesses, and then there's those startup family businesses that can be small, medium enterprises. There's variation across the board, and families are transitioning huge amounts of wealth at the moment. The baby boomers are moving. They're not intentionally moving out in a lot of cases. Some are being pushed. And there's lots of conversations around that too. So transition is a really big thing.
So it's kind of it's hardly a microcosm. It's a huge part of the economy. But what's going on with the transfer of intergenerational wealth right now and with the retirement of the baby boomers or non-retirement? Tell me about what particular challenges that brings for a family.
There are so many issues that come up. Simple issues about communication. Mm. Parents may or may not ask their children, are they interested to come into the family business?
They just assume?
Sometimes they assume, sometimes they expect. So depending on the child, depending on their experience, their life experience, the individual child's experience, the school they went to, the values of the parents, I talk a lot about values. The challenges that come through are multifaceted, and you find that there are all sorts of impacts of today's society that are changing. You will find divorces in families. Mm-hmm. You find younger generation individuals are passing before their parents that create their own challenges. Doesn't necessarily mean parents, but the owners of the business might want to structure things in a way that for them seems appropriate, but down the track they can be quite inappropriate for the next generation.
What kind of thing? What would be an example of that?
Sometimes it might be better to leave the company as a company, and then it gets put into a trust. And types of trust can have different effects and outcomes. Especially transitioning wealth, if it's in a trust, it may be protected, but it may limit the family as being feeling like they actually own something, or being able to make decisions about what they actually own or control.
So, how often is it a challenge? The scenario where the founder owner in the family is passing the business on, transitioning the business, but is actually trying to control things even beyond the grave. This is what it will look like. this is who everything will go to, rather than truly passing it on and saying, over to you, you've got this now?
I don't know how common it is, but it certainly surfaces more often than you would think. And it's generally a cultural history where people are thinking of how they grew up, that it was their parents that controlled things and made the decisions, and you then lived with the results. My perspective on that is, let's have a conversation. Let's be a little bit more transparent rather than wait until you're dead. And then we can work it out. It just makes it more difficult. And planning is something that we talk about, envisage all the time. How are we going to look after the next 10 or 20 years? So let's talk about it now and look for what we can, what changes we can do and how we can affect the outcomes.
So, John, as an advisor, do you go into a family business to help them set it up? So at every stage of the family business life cycle, or just at the transition stage?
It depends on what the family's asking of me. There are times I come in and I actually do an investigation to begin. So the first part of it is finding out who's who. And in that who's who exercise, I interview each family member. I can't do it in 3 weeks or 3 days. It's going to take months to work through this, because everybody has to travel, each individual has to travel their own journey within the family. So there's a whole Q&A stuff. So I have
tell
to
me what
build
you mean by
that.
Sorry, John, tell me what you mean by everyone has to travel their own journey.
Well, you have the individual child, you have the individual parent, you have the first cousin who's an individual. But in a family business, if we're already a reasonably mature family business, then each of the children quite probably will have a partner.
Yeah.
And that partner.
Or an ex-partner.
Or an ex-partner. And more when I'm talking about partners, I'm talking about pillow talk. So the partner's not necessarily in the business, doesn't follow the day-to-day, but they have huge influence on that individual. Mm. When they're not at work. So a younger person might be married to somebody that's in the evening conversation, oh, I didn't get that position, or I didn't get that rise, or I didn't get that opportunity. And the partner might be saying, well, you need that, you know, you deserve that, without any knowledge of what's actually going on and the whole dynamic at play at work. But the support will come in to push. Maybe unintentionally, maybe intentionally. So I have to find out who is who in the game. And, you know, if you want to take a picture of this kind of family dynamic, just look at the royal family.
It was in my head. Wouldn't that be a great gig to go and sort that out?
Well, there's a lot going on there. I'm not going there. But in that whole scenario of building a picture of the family, you also should go back a few generations if you can to see what sort of dynamics are replicating themselves over generations. So if great-great-grandpa Jack was an alcoholic and great-grandpa Jim was an alcoholic and grandpa Joe was an alcoholic and dad's an alcoholic, well, there's every chance that I've got a pre-existing opportunity that I could become an alcoholic. So we need to be aware of these things. And you can, they will have an effect on the dynamic inside the business if people have an expectation of that, other relatives. So we need to talk about these things. Transparency again, communication again, really important parts. And it needs to be done in a way that the individual family has somebody else to lead them, because we all live with biases, internal biases. And families, even though they may think they're getting through it, people don't necessarily speak as honestly as they would like to, because they're trying to protect each other or to protect the family dynamic or protect mum or whatever the picture is. So an external person coming in to do that facilitation that is keeping their biases out of the picture and asking questions. So really the whole exercise is to find out information and be able to share it around so we get a balance. And that comes back to the values. So I'm always working with values.
So, John, I'm hearing as an advisor, there's so many roles. There's conflict resolution. There's somewhat of a counsellor. There's a business consultant. There's knowing who to bring in. I'm sure there's legal elements to this as well. It's a a complex road to navigate, isn't it, as an advisor for a family
business? Yes, I've just recently finished some work with a family where there was trusts existing and the founder of the business wanted bloodline control through generations. And through conversations in these trusts, we looked at the companies and it ended up that we ended up talking to the lawyers to actually redo the constitution of the business. Mm. So everything will affect, decisions will affect other things down the line, and you have to have somebody that actually understands all of these ramifications to be able to talk through. And I don't have all the answers. So when I do work with families, it becomes an interdisciplinary approach where I will talk with their accountants and I will talk with their legal team to be able to facilitate the changes that are better focused for the whole family rather than the individual who controls the family business.
So interesting. What a broad skill set and your experience that you bring to this. So if you had the opportunity to talk to someone at the beginning of a family business or when they realize I've built something here, this could be for the generations to come, what would you give them as your top tips?
Top tips? Always ask questions of the people around you. You need to actually understand why they're thinking, why they're making decisions, why they're making their choices. If you're going to go intergenerationally, you have to ask that next generation, are they interested in doing it? And also, even if they're not interested, maybe if it's a wealth-generating machine and you think it's worthwhile keeping for even the next generation, because there might be somebody in that next generation that could arrive and take on the mantle. If you're around long enough, you can structure it in such a way, you can bring in external CEOs that will continue to grow the wealth or keep the business in a moving style with times. And who's to say whether or not in the future somebody will step up? But leaving the opportunity there might be the better deal, or it may be, depending on circumstances and industry, to sell up and have an event and then distribute the funds fair and even, depending on what fair and even is to that family. They want to separate.
Here's the dynamics again. So be curious, ask questions, particularly of the next generation. I mean, this is an assumption that it's a wealth-generating business. Mm. Do you do much work with family businesses that are in trouble?
I have come into contact with businesses in trouble, and sometimes it's because of the family dynamic. Sometimes there have been situations where money has disappeared out of the business. And in those instances, I've been using my experience to work out whether or not we should continue with the business and whether there's enough drive and initiative within the management team that wants to carry it forward. Every kind of business is involved in this. Last week I met with a family.
Yeah.
A mother, father, son and daughter-in-law. And it was the simplest of meeting. They have one retail outlet between them and all four are one quarter shareholders in the business. And they rang me because they're struggling to make decisions. They're challenged. It's a very new business, but how did they decide on four people, four shares, and not have any governance around how do we have our meetings, how do we make decisions, and what happens if we don't agree? How do we struggle through those? And that's a fundamental start. That's just right at the beginning. And they thought it would be nice if each of us had one share each. So you don't know where the issues will come and you don't know when they're going to come.
No.
They just turn up.
Well, they do just turn up, and governance is something else you talked about, sort of decisions at the right time in the business cycle.
And I really do insist on having an external advisor, but somebody that looks after the family, because most people or even professionals, accountants and lawyers, by law they can only act for the individual who's in charge.
Right.
Who's paying the bill?
Right.
That's the person that the accountant and the lawyer have to focus on. They're the decision
makers. That's their customer.
Now, the difference with a family dynamics person is that my role, or the way I see my role, is I have to work for the whole family. Mm. If I can't work for the whole family, I can't do my job. And I'm not looking for the best tax outcome or profit outcome. Yeah. I'm looking for the best outcome for the whole family. And it may be we don't grow as fast. It may be we focus in different areas, or what, and it comes back to the purpose of the business. Is the purpose to give our Down syndrome child a job? So there's a piece in there about a Down syndrome child who's working in the business, just washing dishes, and loves it. And the restaurant people love him there. So what is the purpose? Why are we here? What do we want? There are so many different parts to this, Stephanie, and each individual is different in the family. So each family is different and each business is different inside each industry that's different. So you've got so much variation.
There's so much variation.
And it even happens, if you can imagine, a mum and dad business where they're going to give it to the kids, and then when they've got two kids, that's an easy exercise compared to already three, four generations where it's ultra high net worth. What happens is you will find that advice here, they might have an accountant and they will have a lawyer that they'll call occasionally down at the low end. The bigger you get, the more advice you're going to need, but it's going to be much more niche. So you end up with more people as it grows getting advice from. So they have to be trusted. You have to have all – so, yeah.
I think it's really interesting that – distinction you make between a business advisor, an accountant, or a lawyer who has to work for the individual, and then a family business advisor who's working for the family. What I've taken from this conversation is the value of having an experienced, objective advisor work with you when you're working through these issues in the business. I love your words in the title of your book of progress, not perfection. And just from what you're saying, complexity is in there also. Communication, curiosity, advice, so interesting. And thank you for giving us just a taste of what you bring to family business. Look forward to when we talk again after the next round of changes in the world around us. But John Bruins, thank you so much for joining us on Vistage Live.
Thanks very much, Stephanie.
So that's it for Vistage Live today. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe so you can listen to us each episode. And for more information about Vistage, check us out on vistage.com.au.